my 91 and a half year mark. When you get to be my age, you count half years. They're as important as whole years. So I'm going to ask you to join in me for a moment of prayer as we open this service. Continue, Lord, to lead us in our worship here today. Thank you for those who have come. Please be with those who are ill among us. Send your healing for them. Prevent them from getting worse. Also prevent us in our family as a church to be protected further from the onslaught of this terrible pestilence, which is but a fulfillment of what Jesus predicted would happen on the earth just before he returns. May it help us understand even more the fact that he plans to come soon and he wants us to be ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 5th chapter, we'll talk about the situation. Jesus has been talking to a group of his followers on the beach of the Sea of Galilee, but he finds that the numbers of people that want to hear him are so great that he has to have more room for them. And so he notices a path nearby, and he leads them up a path that is strewn with salt. In fact, it comes from some salt mines up the pathways, and in the process of marketing it, a lot of the salt has fallen on the pathway and is no longer any good. And that's why he says in verse 13, after he has spoken the familiar Beatitudes in verses 1 to 12 of Matthew 5, he says to those who are listening, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." As Jesus often does, he chooses something within sight of his hearers to teach a spiritual lesson from. And so he has chosen the salt on the pathway to remind them that they are the salt that needs not be discarded, but can do the job that he has for it to do. The time is shortly before it's during his ministry that takes place around 27-28 AD. And so Jesus has been drawing very large crowds up to this point who want to hear what this Galilean person has to say. In fact, according to the book Desire of Ages, there are people in his audience all the way from Phoenicia, from Decapolis on the other side of the sea, from Perea, as far away as Judea, and so on and so forth. So Jesus' fame has become such that people are willing to travel very long distances in order to hear him and see what he has to say. Unfortunately, most of them have been hoping that the Messiah, which they hope he is, will deliver them from the Romans, will be a political king. And they have the wrong idea about his kingdom, and Jesus constantly is trying to correct their erroneous understanding of what his kingdom really is and what it is all about. And so as he makes this reference to the salt, He says, "You are like salt for all mankind. But if the salt loses its taste, there is no way to make it salty again. It has become worthless, so it is thrown away, and people walk on it." That's why Jesus compares his followers to salt. I remember as a child in the days of radio, maybe some of you do too, it kind of dates those of us that remember radio before TV. Radio was better than TV because you could use your imagination, especially with the weird sound effects that would come over such mystery programs as The Shadow and The Green Hornet and programs like this. And as a young kid listening to these things, my imagination soared, and there was a lot more involved in my view than the radio was even producing. But you see, radio called these ads jingles because they usually set them to music. And they still do that over television with ads so that we will remember the thought longer. And I remember one such radio jingle was about Morton's salt. It went, "No salt, 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 like Morton's salt, salt." They were in competition with Leslie Salt Company. And so they used this jingle to impress their hearers to buy Morton's salt instead of Leslie's salt. Really, salt is the most basic element that we have on this earth. In fact, 1/4, or 3/4, I should say, of our earth is covered by water that is filled with salt called saline. 1/4 of our minerals include salt. So everywhere we go, even if we look inside our own bodies, we are filled with salt. It is necessary for life and for survival. And I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus chose it as a symbol of his people. And so we might say, "No salt, salts like Christian salt, salt." Is that right? That's God's intention. We are to have an influence on the world because of being the kind of salt that God wants us to be. In Desire of Ages 306, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth," Jesus said. "Do not withdraw yourselves from the world in order to escape persecution, because you are to abide among men, that the savor of divine love may be as salt to preserve the world from corruption." Were those who serve God removed from the earth and his spirit withdrawn, this world would be left to desolation and death, destruction. The fruit of Satan's dominion, though the wicked do not know it, they owe their very existence and the blessing of this life to the presence of God's people, whom they despise and oppress. And so the reason the world still exists is because God has people here called salt. We are the preservative for this world, so that even those who don't know Jesus as we do might have an opportunity yet to know him before the world is finally destroyed. And this kind of puts a very heavy obligation upon us who know Jesus to be able to be what we ought to be in order for others to want to know him too. If Christians, the statement goes on to say, are only Christians in name, they are like salt that has lost its savor. They have no influence for good in the world. In fact, their misrepresentation of God is worse than that of unbelievers. So we need to be very concerned about the fact that we want to be genuine Christians, genuine salt in this world that God can use. In this sanctuary service, every sacrifice or every offering included salt. And we're told that that represents the fact that every offering, every sacrifice had to have Jesus' merits joined to it in order to be acceptable. We think of the qualities of salt, which are many. It's a cleansing agent. It's a disinfecting agent. It's a purifying agent, and it's an antiseptic agent. Whether a person is cleaning their contact lenses or purifying or healing cuts and sores, it's a wonderful agent that God has given us. And so in the same way, Christians dilute and neutralize the poison of sin in this world and bring out the hope for a better world. In fact, Christians help allay the toxicity of sin, and they elevate morality. We know right now that Satan is very successful in putting down the morality of Christians. We are the target, not only of forces in high places of government, but especially of Satan, as never before. He's never been more angry, he's never been more concerned and intense than he is right now to try to destroy Christians and their influence. We think of the fact that if we don't have salt, a little salt, or not too much, in food, it doesn't taste very good. But if we get too much, then we're in real trouble. And in the same way, God did not intend that his salt would congregate in certain places, like we have as Adventists around some of our institutions, and we're not doing much influence on the world around us in that circumstance. And so we need to be scattered, just as the early Christians were, by persecution, so that the salt would spread out and have an influence over a greater territory of this earth, as God intends that it should. Salt creates a hunger in an unbeliever to taste the bread of life. When my wife and I were on our honeymoon, we had taken with us a loaf of fresh baked bread baked by my brother's wife, my sister-in-law. She sent it with us. But after we got to our destination and started using the bread, we had a problem. She had forgotten to put any salt in it. It was a problem, but it was soon solved because a bear stole it from the table, and he didn't have any trouble enjoying it. And so salt is the bread of life that tastes good, and it's absolutely necessary for not just physical survival, but for spiritual survival. Jesus is that bread of life, and the salt is just right. Salt also creates a thirst for water, which is a necessity for our survival. And in the same way, Christians are to have such an influence in the world that they create a thirst on the part of their neighbors to receive the water of life and to know Jesus as they have had the privilege of doing. Have you ever noticed that most people that decide to become Christians and join the church have a story to tell about other Christians and the influence they had in their decision? That's God's plan. He wants us to be that kind of salt so that it'll create a thirst on the part of our friends and our neighbors and others to know him as Jesus has become known to us. Salt penetrates. It infuses. It mingles with what it is placed in. And as I said before, if you get the right amount, it's wonderful. But if you try to get too much, you're in trouble. And that's happened in our church, where some of our people have decided, oh, we will live next to this hospital, or we will live next to this college for the protection of our youth. And they have never taught their youth to go out into the world and try to take the gospel to the world around them. That has become a problem for church growth in our church. I call those places Adventist ghettos. When Israel tried to huddle around Jerusalem, where the gospel started, God knew that that was not a good idea. And like I said before, he caused them to be persecuted until they were scattered. And thus their influence was much greater for good. Salt works very humbly, very quietly, but very powerfully from within in a balanced situation. Salt is God's given balance agent with two chemical elements, sodium and chlorine. If we take those elements separately, they are poison to us. But taken together, they are life-giving and a blessing. Jesus said, all of you, he used the word ye, which is plural for you. He's talking to the whole group of his believers. Together, you are the salt of the earth. We need the influence of other members around us in order to have spiritual balance. Have you noticed that some independents who withdraw from the church and try to live on their own are usually unbalanced in their thinking? That's because they do not have the checks and balances of the rest of the church, the rest of the salt around them. In Mark 9, verse 50, Jesus said, have salt in yourselves and be at peace one another. And that's because salt historically has been a symbol of peace, a symbol of friendship, a symbol of care and acceptance of one person or one group for another. It's a symbol of love between people. And that's why Mount of Blessing in pages 37 and 38 says, when love fills the heart, it will flow out to others, not because of favors received from them, but because love is a principle of action. Love modifies the character, governs the impulses, subdues enmity, and ennobles the affections. Cherished in the heart, it sweetens the entire life and sheds its blessing upon all around. It is this that is not only needed, but that can also make us the salt of the earth. Such love in our church is the greatest witness for Christ to a waiting, watching world as they look at us. Another place in the testimonies we're told that there's nothing more effective in a church's outreach than a loving and lovable Christian. And so it's not only wise to be loving, but we also need to be lovable. And sometimes we wonder how that can happen. It's a big assignment. It takes a divine miracle to help us love everybody as we should, even our fellow members. And God knew that. That's why he gave this kind of instruction to us. Sad to say, in the general world today, Christianity has lost its distinctive flavor. It's lost its seasoning influence on a godless world. Over 70 million American people profess to be born-again Christians. America is as unaffected by these Christians and what they claim as the National Football League is affected by Sunday worship services. There's no influence. Christianity tried to attract the world with a watered-down religion. There was a sign on one empty church building that said, "Church for sale, easy terms." We've allowed our proclamation of obedient reporting, self-denial for our own glory, to be replaced by the propaganda of feel-good religion. We're concerned about the physical health sometimes more than the spiritual health of the people out there. And so, God has trying to call us to be salt, to be of service to others. And that means sometimes uncomfortable feelings for ourselves. Sometimes in order to be God's salt, we have to enter a discomfort zone for the sake of others. I said before, we need to be careful about having too much salt in too few places. And so a fortress mentality has led some to try to protect themselves, and they have not been salt to the world around them or to their neighbors. We have lost more because we didn't lead the world around us to soul winning in population centers. We've often abandoned those people, and it's as if we're saying by neglecting them, we don't care if you go to hell, we're going to save ourselves. And if that's our attitude, we'll end up losing ourselves as well. Amen. We're in a war. Where the only viable defense is a strong offense. We are clustered together, and when we do, we need to remember, as we sang this morning, we're supposed to be onward Christian soldiers, not sitting in one place. We're supposed to be moving forward. I remember one person made the statement, said, if this church is like a mighty armory, as this song has been singing, I'm afraid we're all going to be receiving, what's the fine for military disobedience? We're all going to be court-martialed. That's what one Christian said. If we're claiming to be a mighty army and we aren't moving like God's mighty army, we're going to be court-martialed. We have lost more because we haven't led the world and our neighbors and others with a caring attitude. But God is speaking to us. He is loving us. And he's saying, you are going to be changed because you love me. And because you love me and I love you, you will learn to love one another, including that big bad world out there that needs to be changed. And so, God will help us, and God will lead us, and God will have salt. May we be that salt for him, is our prayer today as we sing our closing hymn.
Will you turn with me to 365, O Zion, Haste? Shall we stand? We'll sing the first and last verses.
O Zion, haste! Your mission high fulfilling, to tell to all the world that God is light, that he who made all nations is not willing one soul should perish, lost in shades of night. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and relief. He comes again, O Zion, as you meet him, make known to every heart his saving grace. Let none whom he hath ransomed fail to greet him through thy neglect and fit to see his face. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and relief.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending the example of what we should be in Jesus Christ, our Savior. He proved what true salt is for preserving and saving. And he has asked us, when we accept him, to also be salt. Help us to understand that what he asks us is a promise that we can be what he asks us to be. as we throw ourselves upon his power and mercy and love, we can be the salt of the earth. Amen. Continue to lead us in that direction until we enter into your kingdom with the eternal joy, with divine blessing of the taste that will endure forever. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.